We got on this boat outside the Liver Building, a dirty great thing, SS Samaria, thousands of troops on board, all air crew, or all air force rather. And they were in a large convoy of about 50 ships, I suppose. And as we sailed out, it was getting dark, but we could see Blackpool Tower in the distance on our right. So we knew we were going north. So I said, well, that means we're going to go right round the top of Ireland into mid-Atlantic, which we did. And suddenly, I mean, we were in a hold right below the waterline. It was the most disgusting place. And one night, I said, the engines have stopped. Everybody, no, don't be daft, they haven't. Well, they had. So we were, and the boat started rolling, pitching. People were being sick everywhere. Oh, it was terrible. And I thought, well, if a torpedo comes through here, we're in right trouble. Well, next morning, went up on deck, still no engine. We couldn't see the convoy. That doesn't wait. That just went. We were left on our own. And we said, well, no one's looking after us. Well, suddenly out of the huge rollers that were in the Atlantic, there was this little corvette that suddenly sort of showed itself. So it was waiting for us. So it wasn't too bad. So I think I got the engine started after a bit. And we went on our way, and then it broke down again, and same old thing. And eventually, I think we got to Gibraltar, and once in the Med, it was nice and smooth. So I arrived at Egypt to a reception centre, a filthy place again. Nothing but sand in your eyes, in your teeth, in the food, everything else. It wasn't very pleasant. And then eventually they said, right, we're posting you to El Bala, their gunnery school. And this was our first flight in Anson's, so that was okay. What it entailed was that they had Harvard's, which is an American plane, and it towed a very large drogue or sock, probably about, I don't know, 10, 15 foot long. And overnight, all the bullets had been put into a pad with different colours. And so the tips were coated in this paint. So as you fired, if you hit the target, then it left either a red or a blue paint in the thing. So we used to do a lot of that. It was quite a lot of that, and it was I did extremely well. I don't know why, but I again came top. I think on my logbook it says superior, so I think that means pretty good. But one incident there was that I used to sit next to the pilot who was flying the thing, and it was my job to wind up the undercarriage. It wasn't automatic. You had to handle, you had to wind the damn thing up. And suddenly he said to me, you have control. Fly for 20 minutes in this course and then turn 90 degrees. And he disappeared. And I thought, God, I was 19 years old, and I was flying this great twin-engined aircraft. But I knew enough about it, so I thought, right, okay, I'm quite happy. I thought, if I hadn't gone to the RAF, I'd have had this mundane job in the co-op. So I did what he said, and then I turned 90 degrees after went so long. I used far too much rudder, and the nose went down. So I had to correct that. But I was finding it very difficult to fly over the desert because it was a haze, and the Anson's nose is rounded. The wings are behind you, virtually. Couldn't get any horizon, so I had to fly on instruments. But I soon got the knack of that. But I made another mistake, and the stall warnings came on. I tried to recover from a stall, I couldn't. And he was sliding along the floor because actually he'd been sitting on the toilet. But he was all right. And between us, we controlled the aircraft, got it back on level keel. Well, he didn't carry on at me. He just said to me, "Sergeant, don't do that again." And but after that, I used to fly it quite a lot. But I'd learnt my lesson.